KNSI welcomes you to the Saturday Morning Eye Opener.
Talk radio on the edge.
With host Michael John Smith, exploring provocative topics in a diverse spectrum. And now, Michael John Smith. Michael John Smith.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Eye Opener. Thanks for having me on with you this morning as your day is starting. Your coffee is kicking in. We're going to talk about a kind of a deep subject this morning, and I don't mind deep subjects at this time of the day. And with me in studio to do that is Jeanette Blonigan-Clancy. Hi, Jeanette. How are you?
I'm fine. I love the way you say my name.
It flowed that time. Yeah. Now, you are an author, and you are a public speaker in religions and spirituality.
Right.
So there we go. So that's what we're going to talk about. And also, talk about your book, God is Not Three Guys in the Sky, Cherishing Christianity Without Its Exclusive Claims. Holy buckets. So its title again is God is Not Three Guys in the Sky, Cherishing Christianity Without Its Exclusive Claims. Whoa.
Three guys in the sky.
Yeah.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit.
Okay.
See, when we die, we're going to meet a guy named Father, and another guy we're going to run into is Son, or Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And another guy we're going to run into is Holy Spirit. Isn't that what it sounds like in the churches?
Well, it does, but I'm assuming that you're going to be explaining this title to me and explaining that it's not quite like that, right?
Well, I think most people would say, well, you should know that that's not the way it is. But our language in church says that's the way it is. This came to me when I was at the School of Theology in the 1980s. And I was so upset with the seminarian saying, he. It was all he, man, language.
Oh.
And it drove me crazy. And one time in Trinity or Christology class, a seminarian asked, I wonder what the Son felt like when the Father told him to go down to heaven and die for humans. And that just
and so that,
for me, because God is not a bunch of male individuals. God is spiritual reality that we can't define. We don't know what spiritual reality is because it's spiritual.
Right. Oh, man, I wish I could take calls.
Because
this would be a great show. We'd get tons of calls on this one. But we're not here just to irritate people. Just another, and you're not. I mean, we're here to give another perspective to things. So, folks, if you're really heavy into God or whatever, pay attention. You might learn something. Open your mind a little bit. And, again, we're not being threatening or anything. But then you go, cherishing Christianity without its exclusive claims.
Right.
What does that mean?
You know, when I came here, Michael, you asked me, well, aren't you kind of related to those nuns in St. Joe? Yes, I am. I'm really closely associated with them, I think. In fact, people assume that I'm a nun. There's something about me.
You're not a Benedictine nun.
I'm not.
Even though you hung up with them.
But I went to high school there and to college, and I attend mass there, and I'm on the lecture schedule, and they are friends of mine, and we work together. They and I work together on projects like peace movement.
What do you think they've learned from you, and how does that relationship work between the two?
Some of my best friends are Benedictines, and they understand things the way I do. You might be surprised at that.
Mm.
In fact, in the back of my book, there are some blurbs written by two Benedictine sisters, and I think people have no idea how progressively sisters think. Sisters know about these things, and they're very, not only willing, they're eager to join hands with other religions. They're just about goodness and understanding spirit. I even hesitate to say God. They understand spirit as something that we can't define.
Well, let's go back to when you were taking classes and you thought of the concept of this book. How did you, I guess, divorce yourself from the, what you were learning, saying, you know, you were learning it's God and the three dudes up in heaven or
whatever.
Well,
you know, actually, the theology instructors mostly understand things differently from the ordinary people in the pews.
Is that good or bad?
It's good.
Okay.
Yes. Our religious leaders are way ahead of the ordinary understanding in the pews. And it hurts me. I think people should know this. And that's why I wrote this book. People should know this.
Okay, now, since we've just come off an election, and, you know, you hear about the conservative right, you know, the religious folks and stuff like that. After you just said what you said, what do you mean by that then? Because they're the ones that are keeping, let's say, people down who that they may not agree with.
Who is
for instance,
they?
Homosexuality. You know, you always hear about
these
leaders.
Yes,
is that who you're referring to? Or were you talking about local priests and pastors? I'm just curious because there's a big difference.
It's not just
the gay community.
Exactly.
It's anyone that they don't like what they're doing.
Exactly.
Quite honestly. So how did you come to where you're at with that?
I love that question. There is a huge difference between priests and nuns and bishops and bishops. There's just this wide diversity of belief. There really is.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I had some debates by email with people who think that if you don't want to overturn Roe versus Wade, then you're bad and you should be denied communion and you should not be going to church and you blah, blah, blah. You know, you're going to hell, all that stuff. And then there are these beautifully understanding spiritual people who are religious also. There are many priests, many sisters. Mm-hmm. Many priests, many sisters love my book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let me ask you, what is the difference then between religion and spirituality?
Oh, religions are brands of spirituality. They are types. They are different languages for expressing people's relationship with this something that we call God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not three guys in the sky. You know, God is not a human-like individual. There's spiritual reality. You know, everybody respects truth, beauty, and goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our own ideas of that.
Right.
And that's spiritual.
Right. And don't we all seem to, people really love this one. Because I think sometimes when you're really into your religion, which is fine, I think you are often trapped by not being able to look up beyond your religion and realize that aren't we all doing the same thing? I mean, aren't we really? And if you think of Muslims, if you think of whoever you want, there's generally a higher power involved.
Yes.
There's generally all these, as you said, trying to be good, trying to be that. We're all trying to do the same thing. So I guess I'm not quite sure where the big problem comes in.
Okay.
This is a real big one to, you know.
You just asked so many questions.
I know I did. So we can just dissect some of that. I mean.
Okay. Now, let's see. What was the first thing you said?
Oh, now you're asking me to remember things. Oh, my God, Jeanette. Holy buckets.
There's so much to say.
No, that's okay. I was asking, aren't we kind of all doing the same thing? Because you just had said that, you know, religion's really, you know, we're.
Right. We're
a brand of spirituality.
Yeah, so. We're all relating to this spiritual, but then this is the thing, Michael, that we have to really talk about. Yes, and you asked, why is it that we have this conflict between religions? You know, that's the point of what I'm doing. People have a beautiful, let's say they go through Jesus. You know, they pray to Jesus.
Sure.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't pray to Jesus. I'm Christian, I'm a Catholic Christian, and I don't pray to Jesus, but some people do, and that's fine. And they find consolation and solace and answers, and they feel wonderful, and they feel this connection with the sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, well, everybody has to go through Jesus. That's the answer.
Oh, I see.
We all have to go through Jesus. And anybody who thinks they can do it some other way, well, they're just wrong.
So how do they get the judgment? You know what I mean? I mean, who are they? And I think it's wonderful if they found Jesus to be it or whatever. But where does the discriminating factor and judgment, rather, come from?
Right. Well, I think that's just our basic human tendency to look at the other as wrong.
But why?
Is wrong.
Wouldn't you consider the person who is, let's say, praying to their Jesus, whoever it is?
Yeah.
Whatever the
name.
Yeah. I mean, their personal Jesus. I mean, isn't that just as good as someone, you know what I mean?
That's the point I'm making in my whole book. That's the point I'm making.
Do you know how, I might have asked this, but do you know how they got off thinking that Jesus is the only way and that's it and there's no other?
I do know because we were taught that. We were taught that in grade. There's a story I want to tell about grade school. Should I wait?
Well, no. Go ahead.
Okay. I remember in the eighth grade, I had this wonderful teacher, and she said, ours is the one true church. That's doctrine. Hmm. That used to be doctrine, but I'll tell you, there are very few Catholic leaders who say that anymore.
Now, isn't doctrine just written opinions?
Yeah. So we can talk about
okay,
doctrine.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyhow.
Go ahead, sorry.
Okay. And when this sister said that, I thought, is it really true that I just happen to have been born in the right religion and nobody else has the truth?
Hmm.
And, you know, I think many people don't ask that question. It takes some critical thinking.
Mm. But you kind of had that anyway, didn't you?
Yeah.
So how did you, at a young age, how did you get that?
Yeah. You're asking such good questions.
Well, you either have it or you don't, I suppose. Like your mom and dad, were they kind of Catholic light?
Yeah.
So they.
Well, the rest of my family doesn't question the way I do.
Oh. Well, I think it's good. Critical thinking's good.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, the rest, I don't know why I became, I've always thought differently. I can think outside the box.
It's less hassle that way, isn't it?
I'm not enclosed by the envelope of mm-hmm. what we were taught. Mm-hmm. What I do is I provoke people to go out of that envelope and look at it from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know our own religion. We don't know our Christian religion until we can move out of it and look at it from the outside in. Then we know what religions are like.
Don't you think, too, Jeanette, that it's sort of like a doctor, using the medical field in a sense, that it's changed a little bit now, but you don't question your doctor. You know, they know everything, and I'm curious. And then now if you put religion into it, oh, my God, you certainly don't want to question the pastor or the priest, because they have to know what they're talking about, because, you know, they were studied, they this and that, and Lord have mercy, I'd question it.
Just in case mm-hmm. there's a hell.
Yeah.
I'd better go along with it.
Yeah.
Just in case. We go to church for insurance.
Yeah.
Just in case there's a hell.
There you go. See? So coming up, we're going to talk more about hell. You're listening to The Morning Eye Opener on Newstalk 1450 KNSI.